That was wonderful, ladies. Praise the Lord. I went from goosebumps for the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Doc, would you join us? To tears for that wonderful song. And Doc, you did a good job raising these young ladies. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Woodside. This morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to celebrate Memorial Day weekend. We invited a veteran up here to share some stories about what he saw and went through in Vietnam, but before we do, we're going to I found some ideas on the internet about Decoration Day, what it was originally called. I found it to be interesting, and then Doc may add to that as well. But a lot of towns take credit for Decoration Day. Waterloo seems to be the loudest argument to say they started it back in 1866, but it was a chance for people to come together and put decorations on the graves of especially the Civil War people who lost their lives in the Civil War, which was brought to attention this morning by our brother Tim. Back in 1968, it was voted on by Congress to make it a national holiday. It didn't become an official holiday till 1971, where we started celebrating on the last day in May. The last Monday in May is back in 1971. Back in 2000, Bill Clinton instituted a 3 p.m. Monday as a national moment of remembrance, and it's an interesting. The Amtrak trains at 3 o'clock, they all sound their whistle. MLB and NASCAR stop whatever they're doing and have a moment of reflection back on the Memorial Day. So if you're in a NASCAR race, they'll stop everything. Everybody stops and they just sort of reflect and remember upon those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. At noon, tomorrow from sunrise to noon, we're supposed to fly our flags at half staff to remember those who were lost. And then at noon, we're supposed to raise them to full staff to honor those who served. So that's an interesting thing that I did not know. So at noon tomorrow, we go from remembrance to thankfulness to those who served. Back in Rich Schwartz, who was also a Vietnam veteran, he went home to be with the Lord. He did a men's breakfast a few years ago, and he was reflecting upon the good old days. And Doc, I'm not asking you to comment on this, but I will. So many remember the 70s as a decade. This is Rich's words. Many remember the 70s as a decade of soaring inflation, political upheaval, and the erosion of the United States prestige worldwide. There was high gas prices. There was lines. I remember as a kid sitting in line on odds and evens. There was Watergate, and then there was Vietnam. And the way we treated our Vietnam veterans coming home was a scar, I think, in the United States in the 70s. I think we learned from our mistakes. I'm a Gulf War veteran. When we came home from the Gulf War, there was parades and ticker tapes and everything else, like they did for the World War II guys, but they never did that for you Vietnam vets, and that's a shame. So we're here today to thank the Vietnam vets. We're losing them daily, which is a real shame, but I just want to thank you for your service to our nation and what you did for us in the Vietnam War. So that's part of the reason that we invited Doc up here this morning. We learn from our mistakes. If time permits, at the end, we're going to look at a few verses in Hebrews chapter 11, and it's sort of a remembrance of those patriarchs of the faith. And we can learn from their mistakes, and we can learn from what they did right, and here we're going to learn as well. Doc, anything to add about the Decorations Day turn into Memorial Day? All right, so.
Just one thing.
Sure.
As a kid in Hasbrook Heights, you were going to ask me about that. We had Memorial Day at a monument. At a circle on Passaic Avenue in Hasbrook Heights near Woodridge. Anyway, my dad would take me there every year, and they would fire off a salute, and they would list the names, speak the names of all the World War II veterans that were lost.
Wow.
And after each name, they would say absent.
Mm. Okay.
You got it.
There you go.
You got it.
So our first, everybody, you guys probably know this is Dr. Williams. He's joining us today. He grew up in, he mentioned, Hasbrook Heights. He graduated high school in?
1955.
Some 8,700 miles away in 1955, there was a skirmish that was beginning. It was actually before then, but 1955 seemed to be the big time where North and South Vietnam were colliding, and then the U.S. was going to get involved with that fairly soon. But as you're graduating high school, 8,700 miles away was a skirmish that was going to impact you and impact your family and impact your life. So for your spiritual background?
I was saved at Lehigh University through Eddie Eichelberger, a national champion wrestler who happened to have the apartment below me. So I went down and saw him one night because his light was on after he had testified at the Eastern Championships, testifying at Galatians 6:14. But anyway, I went and talked to him, and he told me Romans 10:9 and 10, and that night, on my knees, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and changed my life, including marrying my wonderful wife, Margaret, who, when you say affected families, she was affected awfully by my tour in Vietnam. And so it was with other wives and family members, mothers and fathers, whose children went to Vietnam and never came home.
And that's who we're here to remember now. I also wrote that, I wrote down Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so he testified during that out of the championship, and then you, his light was on.
Right.
And you knocked on his door, and he led you
that's
to the
right.
Lord. And then Romans 10:9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you gave your life unto
Amen.
The Lord. And that was, do you remember the night or the
sure.
year?
March 16th, 19, when was that, 56?
1956, praise the Lord. What your first year in college at Lehigh
I was,
University?
I was a freshman at Lehigh.
Wonderful. And then you were married in?
1962,
praise the Lord. And you have how many children?
Eight
children and grandchildren. And a lot of them are here this morning, praise the Lord.
Right, I have 19 grandchildren.
19 grandchildren. The Lord has been faithful for sure. So as we know that on November 11th is Veterans Day. That's a shout out to us veterans, those who served. And I know there's some here in Zoom and there's some here in the audience. So we thank you all for your service. The third Saturday in May, May 20th, is Armed Forces Day. That's for those celebration of those who are currently serving in our military. But this weekend is Memorial Day. This weekend is a weekend to reflect upon those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. So back, I wrote in my notes, back in 1966, you, as every other adult male, under the age, I believe, of 25 or maybe even 30 back then, had to register for the draft.
We did, but I was in a separate issue called the Berry Plan. Berry Clan basically allowed doctors to get extra training before going to Vietnam. So I had 1 year extra training, but that ended up to be a good thing because, as Margaret points out, we think the Lord prepared me
Amen.
For what I did. I have PTSD, so, you know, don't matter. Anyway, I had a year of good surgery. I knew what I was doing. And a year of medicine. When I went to Vietnam, predominantly I went to the jungles.
Now, I know it's part of the Berry Plan, which makes a lot of sense. And they actually stopped that program. But the Berry Plan was a wonderful program because you as a doctor or a doctor in training would be a lot more helpful in the hospitals or in the combat area than you would be, say, fighting on the front lines where they would put the other guy. So it was really a great plan. And you said there's a couple different options that were allotted to the
The 1 year or 3 year.
1 year or 3 year.
I had the 1 year, and actually I did get with the people in the front. But it just helped more to be able to treat. So.
Sure, yeah. So you thought of, when you were assigned, you thought you were going to be at a hospital.
I didn't know where
you didn't know where you were going, okay. Do you remember?
My commanding officer at the Pentagon said, "You've got orders." That's it.
And what did you reply?
I replied nothing.
Okay. Yes, sir.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I thought.
Then he said, "What are you thinking?" I said, "How to take care of my family."
Amen. That's where I was going with
that was
for
the
question.
That was the quote.
How do I take care of my family? So now you have 3 children at home,
right,
and 1 on the way.
Right.
So Ed, Dean, and Carolyn are home with Mrs. Williams, and Peggy is on her way.
Correct.
And you are sent over to Vietnam.
Right.
And how long did you serve in Vietnam?
11 months and 11 days.
11 months, 11 days. And that was back in 19?
67, 68, excuse me.
And total Army time?
Active duty, 2 years.
Wow.
And some
reserve time.
Reserve time.
Right. So now we know there's a famous guy, and I looked him up, called Colonel Moore. Colonel Moore was involved in a major battle in 1965. That was before you were there. And he wrote a book that became a movie called When We Were Soldiers, Winston Young.
Right.
And the movie became a movie just called When We Were Soldiers, if anybody's seen it or read the book. But what was your connection to Colonel Moore?
For about 8 years, we were pen pals.
Hmm. Okay.
Just one thing. He was the first one to call me a combat vet.
Really? Wow.
Because he knew what I did.
Yeah.
Which was mostly to go into the jungles by a helicopter with a medic or two and take care of the wounded.
Wow.
At the time of the battle.
During the battle.
Mm-hmm.
You would go in and...
That's what Margaret was, quote, fully aware of.
Mm.
She knew what was going on.
And you were writing letters back and forth?
Oh, yeah.
To home as well?
I have about 300 letters or
really?
So.
Okay. Have you ever gone back and reflect upon them?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure Margaret did as well. So
she kept them for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote on my notes here, back July 12th, 1967 was a big battle. Do you like to share?
No, that was my first really huge battle. First, the 12th Infantry got surrounded and severely wounded by. In fact, there's a whole article about it. How they got in a battle and many, many killed and wounded. I took care of the wounded. That was a big one. July 12th, I remember that every year.
Wow.
Yeah. Take some time to reflect upon what happened.
Yeah.
I think it was Three Williams' died.
Really?
At least that's the names I can find for that day.
Yeah, I looked that up as well. That was quite a battle. There was a lot of lives lost, for sure. And now you're a cardiologist back here in Union, correct? And one of your patients was a grandmother of somebody that you...
Oh, yeah. Well, a good friend of mine in Vietnam, Fred McCoy.
Fred McCoy, okay.
Fred McCoy was a Catholic solid Christian who went to Seton Hall to become a nurse, to do what he could to help people. Went to Vietnam, went out among the Montagnards. You can look that up, Montagnards. And learned the territory, learned how to use his M14 sniper rifle.
Mm.
And he defended that territory.
Mm.
And one event, which is kind of like what we heard this morning, a Catholic missionary taking care of orphans, had a little farm. And one unit, I don't remember which, came in and murdered her.
Mm-hmm.
Fred took care of that.
Wow.
He took care of the perpetrators. He became wanted on a list of NVA.
Really?
To get him.
Now that NVA stands for North Vietnam Army, right, Vietnamese
right.
Army.
NVA, right. So.
And also VC is the Viet Cong, right? So when you're battling the Viet Cong, which is non-military jungle type fighting, and then the Army.
It's military. they were well trained by the NVA and whatnot.
Gotcha. What did, so you became a patient, I mean his grandmother became your patient, so there was.
That's right. He moved out west and I spent a lot of time trying to find him, never did.
And then also there was a Captain Bob Smith, who I think was a 42nd Artillery connection somehow.
Yeah, the connection on that, you'll like this one, where I was given an in-country R&R for some reason, I don't know why. And I was on the air helicopter with Captain Bob Smith. And he saw my 4th Infantry and he said, "Do you know a fellow named McCoy?" I said, yes, he's a good friend. He said, that guy is always calling artillery in on his own position. That's right.
Wow.
On his own position. He would crawl or sneak or whatever into an NVA camp and call in artillery where he was. He would dig himself a little hole in the ground, be underneath most of the frags, except I met him because he had a frag in his arm. Took care of that. That was day one. Then after that, we were good buddies.
Good buddies. So you met him in the hospital or some kind of...
I met him at base camp.
Base camp.
Right. Anyway, Captain Smith was amazed.
Yeah. I guess Fred McCoy had quite a reputation.
Oh, yeah, he ended up with a great reputation.
I think you mentioned to Kathleen and I that he was a modern-day Rambo. What we would think of Rambo was...
Well, if you know Rambo, you know some of the things he did.
Well, I also have at Forward Operation Base 2, Colonel William P. Junk.
Oh, okay. This is a tough one. This is a book about FOB 2. I was called up there by Colonel Junk because he had confidence in me as a combat surgeon. He was charged with the defense of a city called Khantoum. You can look it up. It's up there in the Central Highlands. He was the commander, and the commander of the FOB 2 is really a general, actually, John K. Singlaub. John Singlaub actually ended up being a neighbor to my daughter, Margaret, Peggy. So I got to know him and know his family, and he died at 95, but know him, communicated with him. But in any event, that group, that's there in Sydney, yeah. Anyway, they ended up with 5 medals of honor for what they did. Mm. 5. And of course, many, many other medals. I was friends with a couple of them. And a captain from there took me out to meet the missionary I told you about. So I knew that missionary that was killed. I knew her. And that's part of it. And there was a huge battle there that I was kind of part of, which the NVA were going to try to overrun the unit I was in. They got within one hill, right over there, and were stopped by the 173rd. And the 1st and 22nd. I got a letter from the 1st of the 23rd. From the 1st of the 173rd, telling me that they could see our unit from where they were fighting. And they were happy to see that the wounded were getting into my unit and cared for.
Oh, amen.
They knew about it.
What a wonderful compliment.
One hill away. So I did communicate with the 173rd, thanked them for what they did. They, of course, thanked me for what I did. And I told them I would have been a widow. I mean, my wife would have been a widow if it wasn't for them, and it's true.
Now, you were mentioned to us that the company commander, which I'm sorry, Colonel Junk, and you were the commanding officer on that particular battle, right? And you had a...
He was a commanding officer, and I was the lead officer in one part of the compound because the Highway 14 went down between the two. Officers here, NCOs here, except for me. So, how long was I commander over there? Oh, a couple seconds. I found a good sergeant to take over, and he did. Then when we were prepared to be attacked, he was in a mortar pit by himself. So I jumped in with him, and he said, "Oh, Doc, don't do that." I scared him half to death. But anyway, that was us. We made a decision, the two of us, that we would fight it out. We would not try to escape because the orders required us to climb over a high fence, go through a field of punji sticks, which were bad things in the ground that you'd step on with your foot, and then meet up at a river, as you can see it on the map, and get picked up by a helicopter. Anybody think that that was a reasonable possibility? If you say no, you're right. So we stayed there. And as I said, the infantry took care of us. I always, believe it or not, felt very good being with the American soldiers.
Amen.
American soldiers in battle, I felt, believe it or not, I felt safe with them. That's how good they were.
I know you mentioned that their plan, the escape plan, was to jump over the fence and go through the field and end up at the river and hopefully the helicopter. But you would have had to leave the wounded, right? You weren't getting the wounded over that fence and through that field. So.
I don't remember that. But I'm sure it ended up we wanted to stay with them too.
Yeah, which is the heart of a doctor to to stay and battle, fight it out.
And we stayed.
Wonderful. Now, as far as you became saved in college, and then now you're in Vietnam, was there a walking with the Lord, a following of the Lord, or going to church, or reading your Bible, praying?
Yes. In fact, I have a little comment that on Radio Watch, I'd be reading my Bible, which was interesting. And then I had the connections with the Christian Missionary Alliance. You know, there was how they were murdered at Ben Mituit. I was nearby there. That was bad. And would go to church with them, and then I would go to church with a chaplain who was there because his son was killed. He came to replace him. And he would have services at the when I was in base camp, I would go all the time. Bible studies I was able to go to.
Yeah, nice.
Believe it or not.
Walking with the Lord and reading his word faithfully. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's an interesting, it's a terrible story that the young man was killed and his father came in to replace him, but the word of the Lord was going forth and so much to be thankful for. Now, before we close, I meant to ask at the beginning if there's any questions either from Zoom or from you guys. We'll get to them in a minute. But there was three things that you brought up a pile of stuff up here, and I know there was three things that you definitely want to talk about that I don't want to miss. So, the three things.
I did. What were they? Oh! Let me see. Right. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I can read them to you if you prefer.
Oh, yeah. There's I got it now.
Okay,
the first thing is, this is a plaque that my men gave me, which says, Edward G. Williams, Captain M.C., our commander. They cried when I left. They cried.
Wow.
My mentors.
Our commander, that's wonderful, Doc.
Yeah, they did. They would go into the jungles with me. a certain crew. That was, you going, I'm going. They were very good that way.
And then, combat medical badge?
Well, that's, if you've ever seen this Army, that's, it's a combat medical badge. Right. It's the only really thing I got for being there, and it's precious to me.
Do you wear that often?
Oh, yeah. Right, Mom?
And then there was a Peggy Williams rescue chase helicopter ride.
Oh, okay. What happened was Peggy got very ill. She had a temperature of 107 plus, and the doctors were afraid that she would die, and I would have never seen her.
She was born while you were in Vietnam.
I was born while I was in Vietnam. So they called the Red Cross, right? And they contacted somehow through to the hospital where I was. But at that point, it was against the rules for anyone to go on a joyride from a hospital because the number had gone to see what the countryside was like and didn't make it back. Mm-hmm. So I was not supposed to do that. Well, the commander of Dustoff said, what? This guy's been flying into the jungle his whole career. We're going to go get him. So they did. They came out in a helicopter, and the hospital commander came with them to pick me up, to take me to Pleiku Air Force Base, get on a plane to get to Cam Ranh Bay, which is interesting because Tonsonut, which is a place where I would have gone, was routinely having planes and whatnot shot down. And Margaret knew about that and prayed that I would not go there. So I didn't. I ended up going to Cam Ranh Bay. You can look it up where it is. Nice beach and whatnot. And
you made it home.
Left from there. And ended up in Washington, Seattle, Washington. And that's where I called Margaret from. Mm. Right? Very good. Mm.
Anyway, I know we're interviewing the doc up here, Margaret, but you know, obviously a lot of credit goes to you for having three young ones and then one on the way. And so we thank you so much for your time home caring for them as he was out serving our country. You guys are wonderful, wonderful examples and wonderful couple. And as I don't know if we'll have time to look at the Hebrews chapter 11 verses, but in Hebrews chapter 11, there's sort of a lot of like it covers from Genesis 12 to Genesis 50. It covers 110 years of people's lives, of Joseph, for example, and it comes down to one sentence. So I guess I'm not, maybe you can give us a sentence, and we probably all can come up with a sentence about you, Doc, but you've been a cardiologist for?
Maybe
years,
more, so, 55.
So perhaps the Hebrews 11 would be a cardiologist, saved many people, you know, gave them the right treatments and diagnosed their problems correctly and saved many people. Or you're a veteran, which we were discussing here today, a veteran of the Vietnam War. You were a doctor in the Vietnam War where you saved many, many guys, the wounded. You didn't leave them behind. You cared for them. I know there were some that you couldn't save, but I know you were diligently trying your very best. Husband for over 60 years, if I did my math correctly, to a wonderful wife. So perhaps that would be your legacy, the 60 years of a wonderful, faithful marriage to a godly woman, and a father of 8, a grandfather of 19, perhaps that would be your legacy. But if I had to sum up Dr. Williams in one sentence, and it all could be done, it was how you offer wonderful hospitality, how you open your home. I think the reputation that the Williams have is opening their home to the strangers and to the lost, and doing a few things, presenting them with the gospel message, praying for them, and always being a godly example, and somebody who always kept their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your 8 kids, I imagine most of them or all of them are walking with the Lord, which we're thankful for, and the 19 grandchildren and such stuff. That's a wonderful legacy that you left as an example to us younger folks about how to live a godly, fearing life. So we're very thankful for you guys, for the Williams as a whole, and especially for Margaret and Ed Williams as the mom and dad. So any other comments? Or?
Well, my son James is here.
Hey, James.
And his his grand uncle actually fought in World War I.
Oh, okay.
He's named after him. How about that, James?
Amen. So we're glad you're here, brother.
And then
oh, okay. Yeah, I do have a list here. I think your brother Johnny sent me, so we can somewhere on my notes here. I guess you probably know it better than I. But we have Ed, Dina, Carolyn, Peggy, Jimmy, Johnny, Lois, and then Kathy. Kathy being there.
And my niece is in the back, and I'm sure her children are here too.
Amen. So any questions for Doc Williams? I know it's a sort of a spurring it on you, but perhaps we could, maybe we should close in prayer, or maybe, yeah, it's 11:59. So we do have some verses of Hebrews chapter 11, but maybe we can get to them next time. We do thank you, Father, for our time together. We thank you for the Williams family. We thank you for Doc as he left, he signed up for that draft, was drafted through, and became a wonderful doctor and a surgeon and all that stuff out there in Vietnam, serving our wounded and serving our country faithfully. But we especially thank you for Eddie at Lehigh University, who was sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, and how Doc came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through a friend, a wrestling champion, and how he lived a life to serve you faithfully. Even as we hear as he went off to Vietnam, he never forgot his Bible and was reading his Bible during the watches and always trying to go to church and pray and be faithful. And then come back and raise a family of wonderful Christians, but especially that they would open their home in a wonderful sign of hospitality to those who are lost. And to have a Saturday night for months, I mean, one Saturday night a month for many, many years, where they would just open their home and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for this family. We thank you for his service. We thank you that he knows and trusts the Lord, and we ask for a blessing upon him. As we think about this weekend and we come to remember those who gave that ultimate sacrifice, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Doctor.